Good morning. Today is Tuesday, January 2nd, second day of the year. I'm trying to do my best Brian voice since.
It's Brian voice.
And joining him on Talk Shop today is Bill McCauley. Da 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 da.
Da da da. How's it going, Winston?
Finding a bug that I caught last week and a half or so.
Oh, the familial bug that passes around. Yes, we had a little bit of that for the holidays in our household as well.
Crawlers?
No.
Or viral? Okay.
Yeah, the viral bug. But.
New year, huh?
It is a new year.
Same attitudes. Yeah.
Yes.
But you know what? You got something to talk about that's kind of like wildly important and interesting.
That would be unusual.
Well, you know, tax reformation does that for a lot of
folks. It does. It does. It's got a lot of interesting stuff going on.
So. Yeah. Oh, too much fun. Too much fun. What was the biggest thing that you have run into consistently that would be kind of applicable across the road?
Well, we spent a lot of time in the last 10 days of the month working with communicating with clients that we saw opportunities for them to do some things before the end of 2017 with an idea that maybe those things wouldn't be available to them for the same kind of benefit in 2018. And so that was what we would call crisis management tax planning from the standpoint that, you know, it's hard to have that. And, you know, the unfortunate part is there was, you know, another big chunk we didn't talk to because we didn't see an opportunity, but they may not have known we were thinking about them. I personally went through every tax file, electronic tax file, to see what opportunities presented.
That would explain the lack of paper cuts.
Yeah. Well, I do have one, but it's covered up.
Yeah, yeah, for that big gauze Band-Aid.
I got a Band-Aid, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a generic bandage. I don't know if it's a brand name. But, yeah, it's been that was an interesting and fun time from the standpoint that you know, we had a lot to do. Now what we're doing is beginning to kind of face the fact that things are going to be different in 2018, and we've got people who are going to do their 2017 returns, but we're equally confident they're going to want to know what's going to happen to them in the following year. It's a little different person by person or business by business.
Well, I guess that's the biggest question point for a lot of the stuff is that, okay, they're saying 17, or it was done in 17, they're saying tax returns. Is it for the filing period that will happen this coming April, or is it the calendar year that will be this year, 2018, or is it a mishmash? Mishmash, is that the word?
For the most part, there are exceptions, but for the most part, these new laws are effective January 1, 2018, and for tax year 2018. However, as an example, if you are a fiscal year corporation, say you have a June 30 year end, then you're not going to get the benefit of the lower rates until the year beginning July 1, 2018, as opposed to having some kind of blended rate or something. So the corporate tax rate, the tax relief associated with the lowering of the corporate tax rates or the general lowering, I can make an argument in some cases the corporate tax rate was increased. But the point is it's a bit of a mishmash in terms of the effective date. And also, there were certain things that were enacted as part of this to prevent taxpayers from taking advantage of the fact that there was a new law coming. So they limited some things that hadn't really been limited before with the idea that they didn't want taxpayers doing things right at the end of 2017, that there wouldn't be any corresponding consequence in 2018. So, and we're talking about things like paying a whole bunch of state income tax, way more than you owe, with the idea you're going to get a big deduction in 2017, get a refund in 2018, and in 2018 that refund wouldn't be taxable. They plug.
So the California and New York.
Yeah, they plug that gap a little bit, you know, to some degree.
Now, why were these companies giving these huge bonuses, payoffs, checks last week after this had been signed the preceding Friday? If it doesn't go into effect until 2018, which then isn't due until the middle of 19, Yeah, that's 2 years out. Why were they moving so quickly?
Financial accounting.
Is that tax planning?
Financial accounting, which is different than tax accounting. There's an interesting quirk to this whole tax law change. Interesting to me, perhaps not to everyone, but it does interest me. For corporate entities, as an example, that have that are publicly traded or otherwise are let's talk multinational companies. We saw it with some of the bigger companies that what they paid $1,000 to thousands of employees, in some cases a bonus, because of the coming impact. They also committed to do some other things and do some spending because of the changes in the tax law. Why did they do it in 2017? Was because for financial accounting purposes, each one of those entities recognizes a concept called deferred taxes. And that's a financial accounting concept. And when you are there are two components to tax expense that are considered when somebody's calculating their tax liability for financial accounting purposes. One of them is what they owe currently, and the rest is what they would owe or what they would be entitled to get later based on timing differences with their tax return and their financial accounting. We can talk about that when,
I think we're going to have to.
If you're interested.
Separate the chaff from the wheat when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with noted CPA Bill McCauley and his notepads.
Oh yeah, I got
or
paper.
Stacks.
I got paper.
You got stuff.
I got paper.
Well, let's start, I guess, with the employee perspective.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now we heard that there's going to be changes. Now, depending on who you talk to, how much and who gets most of the benefit is up for grabs. But I've seen a couple of things that have been kind of shared around with some of my buds that say most folks are going to see, if they're paying taxes already, they're going to see some kind of relief. Fair statement?
I think that's the intention. We don't have software yet that will give us a really good modeling, and so we've done some slightly better than back of the napkin kind of calculations for some situations, just to kind of look. And we've seen some situations where we think there's going to be tax increases, and there's a lot of situations where we think that the tax is going to go down.
The increases are very particular to an individual?
Yeah, particular circumstances. There are certain people, there are certain times where an individual might end up being in a single person, for example, might end up being in a higher tax rate than they were before under the same relatively similar circumstances. Part of that's because of the change in the standard deduction. Part of that's because of dependency exemptions that have changed, and let me explain that for a minute. For tax law that since I've known it has had for many years we've had what's known as a dependency exemption. So if for a parent family of four, mom, dad, and let's say a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, There have been dependency exemptions for all four of them, so that would be that total dependency exemption would amount to, it's been around $4,000 for a number of years. It goes up $50 a year, say $4,100. So you might be at $16,400 or $16,500 for dependency exemptions for the family of four. Plus, they would get either their itemized deductions or their standard deduction. Well, what they did is they did away with the dependency exemption, and they increased the standard deduction. So your standard deduction might have been $12,000 now, before. Now it's $24,000. So if you think about somebody who was in using a standard deduction with two kids, their standard deduction might have been $12,000, and their dependency exemptions might have been $16,000, so that's $28,000. Under the new law, you get one combined standard deduction of $24,000. So that deduction might be less under the new law than the old exemption and standard deduction.
So large families.
So larger families. In addition, however, there is an increase in the child credit, and that may offset it. That's why the problem is, depends on the age, AGI, adjusted gross income of the taxpayer. There's just a lot of variables that are going to, that from person to person, even families that might look the same. You know, we might look at a family kind of similarly. They live in the same neighborhood, but maybe one rents and one owns, or maybe one owns and, or they both own, and but one of them doesn't have a mortgage anymore because they, for whatever reason, they were able to pay off their house. Maybe they have the same number of kids, but anyway, the whole thing could be really different. They have two wage earners, one wage earner in the family, one and a half in this family, two full-blown wage earners over in this other. You know, there's just a lot of variables that we, you know, that don't lend themselves to a broad brush.
But in general terms, that kind of lays things out a little bit more for us to be able to follow along with.
Yeah, I think the other thing, Brian, that's this new law does is there is, if you can cut through all the additional complication, there is some simplification. It came at a cost. I think that there are a lot more people are going to be on a standard deduction than used to be, which means that those tax returns might be easier depending on what your state does.
That rolls into the next situation, California, New York, and a couple of others, that there was a deduction for which
right.
paid at the federal yeah. level, which I think if we weren't in the middle of the tornado, you go, well, okay, so one is subsidizing the other. That's not right.
Well, the point here, Brian, is that from a tax preparation complexity standpoint, if California doesn't conform to the changes in the itemized deductions, which we haven't really talked about yet, but there are changes in the itemized, if California doesn't conform to those, then you're going to be calculating standard deductions the old way for California and the new way for federal, and you're probably going to have a bunch of people who are going to itemize for California but are going to have a standard deduction for federal. So you look at it and go, well, their federal return theoretically is easier, except that the person that prepared the return is going to have spent the same amount of time or more to do the return because of these other factors. So, you know, I'd love to paint with that broad brush. I'd love to go, yeah, everybody's going to have it. It's going to be easier. It's going to go faster, and it's all going to be great. But I think there's going to be some challenges.
Have you heard anything out of the state?
Not a lot. But there's a whole list of conformity issues. They're going to either have to go thumbs up and thumbs down. A lot of them are not contingent upon existing California law, which says, yeah, we already conform with that for federal. So there's specific things the state would have to do to conform. Stay tuned.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Talk Shop presented by Lolita Cheese Factory, CDH Painting, and by Redek. Billy, looking at the tax changes that, as much as they're known, I guess is probably what it is, because the dust certainly hasn't settled on this stuff. You've mentioned a couple times that itemized deductions have changed. Now, with the backdrop of what you said in the earlier segments, itemized deductions, federal? Have changed. State
no tuned.
Movement yet.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
Yeah. So for federal purposes, there's a couple of big changes in the itemized deduction arena. Number one, there's a new limitation on state and local income tax, state and local taxes. So as an example, property taxes and your state income tax are capped at for a married couple at $10,000, single person at $5,000. It's a big change. The other thing that the other substantial change, and there's some new rules regarding mortgage interest and home equity debt and things, and we can talk a little bit about that. But there's still some stuff in the weeds on that. But the point being that there are some caps on the amount of debt you can have on a home and deduct the interest. There's also a suspension of home equity indebtedness as an itemized deduction. So people who had the home equity line of credit, you could use up to $100,000 however you wanted and still deduct the interest as mortgage interest. That's gone away. You have to be able to trace it to acquisition. What that exactly looks like, we're learning about.
And some of that's a retro. So yeah. If you did it like 5 years ago, now you got to pull up all those bills.
Yeah, we got to figure that out. So there's some challenges there that we need to. We'll be working through for 2018 for people.
So the new boat isn't necessarily going to cut it anymore.
Mm, right.
If that's where
exactly
you put your money. Okay.
Well, it might. Well, it,
not a houseboat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's got enough elements on it, it might. But okay. if it's a speedboat, it's not going to cut it. So we have this change in there's a minor change in medical expenses which reduces AGI for everybody, which was used to be just seniors, but now everybody's back down to a 7.5% AGI limitation instead of the 10% AGI limitation, which is a good thing. And then there's also a few little minor tweaks in the charitable contribution area. I don't think it's worth spending much time on right now. And then the remaining big thing is the itemized deductions that were subject to the 2% floor. These kinds of expenses are employee business expense and investment fees and tax preparation fees. Ouch. That are no longer deductible. And so that's going to have an interesting impact on some people. You know, for people, as an example, who have a lot of expenses that they incur from their because of the nature of their employment, they have a lot of employee business expense. They're probably not going to do fare as well under this law. So what employers are going to have to do is respond to that and say, look, we need to reimburse more. Because we know that our salesmen, as an example, aren't going to be able to deduct as much as they used to be able to. So there's a series of things that are going to trigger, exactly,
yeah.
And we're going to see those things. So itemized deductions are different, and then when the standard deduction is higher. So think about it this way: if you're a married couple and you have a mortgage interest, and let's say you have mortgage interest of $10,000, just picking a number out, and you have state and local taxes of let's say that total is $8,000. Well, I'm capped at 10, so I'm under that, so that's fine. So now I have $18,000 of itemized deductions. If I don't have any medical expense because we're healthy, so the only area that's left that I'm likely to get itemized deductions from, unless I'm a gambler, is going to be the charitable contribution area. If I have less than $6,000 charitable contributions, I'm going to be on a standard deduction for federal purposes because I didn't get to 24. So it just changes a lot because a lot of people are not going to itemize who are used to. For single people who have a house, we think most of those people are, at least my observation is most of those people are probably going to continue to itemize because they probably have, you know, $7,000-$8,000 of mortgage interest maybe and maybe even $10,000 of mortgage interest. And then they've got, you know, $5,000 of state and local income tax. Well, now I'm already over the $12,000 that they would get. So we think those people are probably more likely than married people on average. Single homeowners are more likely to be to continue to itemize going forward.
It sounds like a lot of this, the references are still there, but the definitions of those references have changed.
Right.
And it's just going to be readjusting to whatever that might happen to be in your particular situation.
Exactly. And so we're gonna have to work with people, and whether we'll have time in the midst of the storm that is tax season to really be able to provide a lot of information in that window, that's a challenge.
But now we're
trying to figure out how do we respond to that, because I know client comes in, sits down, and says, okay, here's my stuff for 2017. Oh, by the way, while you're doing this, can you kind of tell me how it's going to affect me for 2018? So that's another calculation. Do you want to pay for that? You know, I'm hopeful that
let's talk in September.
I'm hopeful that we'll have a better solution. I don't have it right now, but I'm hoping we'll have a better solution to provide more information as an example to our clients so they can, you know, and well, we all need
if the state is going to be reacting down the road, you don't know what that's going to be at this point.
We don't.
And that's a fairly good chunk, I would imagine, for a lot of folks.
Yeah, and I have never really tried to make a fortune betting on exactly what the state of California is going to do.
Lost a couple, though.
Yeah.
It's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Billy, before you said corporate tax.
Yeah.
And that seems to be one that's getting a lot of attention also on the spin cycle. Yeah, I'd like, you know, maybe some time to put it on the rinse cycle. Yeah. But in the spin cycle, we're getting varying descriptions of what is and who is and how come and why nots from was it 30,000 feet, 25,000 feet? What are we looking at?
What we're looking at is that under the old rules, there was a maximum corporate tax rate of 34 or 35%, depending on exactly where you fell in the range. But the and for federal purposes, and that was high by world standards. And this law takes that rate down to 21% and it's a flat 21%. So that creates some interesting issues. Number one, for corporations that make, under the old rules, if you made up to $50,000, your corporate rate was 15%. So if on the first $50,000, you're actually paying a higher 6% higher tax rate than you were before. So tax, you know, corporations, we would tax plan trying to take advantage of the lower end of the rate structure. Now we're going to have to look at that a little differently because that 21. Now on the other hand, For entities that have been fully loaded from a tax perspective, paying the fully loaded rate, which goes up to 35, works back to 34 once it ends up being a flat 34 for really big entities. That's going to be interesting for these fully loaded companies who are now going to be having a tax rate of 21%. And that goes back to your question at the start of the show, which is why are people paying some money out at the end of the year in bonuses? That's because they're going to be recalculating their deferred taxes based on a lower tax rate. And so all of a sudden, for companies that had deferred tax liabilities who in the future were expecting to pay tax, they're going to pay tax at a much lower rate. So they're going to reduce that liability that's on their books. That's going to come through as a one-time change to their income tax expense, which is going to improve their situation, which allows them the flexibility to still do some sizable bonusing and still be
healthy
from an income standpoint.
Now, you got so many different levels of business. I'm not talking about the technical, you know, sole proprietorship, a C corp, but revenue. I mean, it seems like this is all revenue based for the small guys that are we find around here.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know there's some big boys, but you know, for the smaller guys, much ado about nothing, or are we going to see some changes also?
Well, yeah, I think there's going to be changes. The expensing rules have been expanded for Section 179, which allows you to write off directly the purchase of equipment, which, you know, under old rules, you just would have, old rules, you would depreciate over time. Now you can just write it off. So that helps people balance their tax liability and tax manage. But what we're also seeing is this law provides for a 20% deduction for certain pass-through entities. And that is an extremely complex piece of law, which we're still trying to ascertain, make sure we understand what business activities it applies to and which ones it doesn't. Does it apply to somebody who has a rental? Great question. We think it does, but we're not, you know, we need more clarification to be able to really drill down on this stuff. But we're going to see lots of significant changes for most businesses. Most businesses are going to have some things to react to as a result of the changes here.
Now, you realize you just used one of those phrases that is supposed to be verboten now at the start of the new year.
Which is?
Drill down. That's supposed to be an old hackneyed one.
Okay.
I personally understand it, so I'm going to be using it,
okay,
too.
Okay, well, let's just not reach out, because that one's overdone.
Oh, boy. See everybody tomorrow.